Book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 8. We're going to be looking at this entire chapter, 35 verses in the chapter. And don't let that scare you. We'll get through it okay. I'm going to read verses 1 and part of verse 2 as we talk about how God gives us a second chance. And this is a good story about how God gives us a second chance. We're doing Joshua on Wednesday nights. I hope you bring your Bibles with you. And we'll be here for a few more weeks and studying together. Might even go into Judges from here. I don't know, hadn't decided yet, but these two books go together very nicely. And Judges is a good study to show you parallels between what we're seeing in our country today and what they were doing 3,000 years ago. So we may do that. Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 and part of verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. Uh-oh. We've already seen Ai one time, and they got thrashed at Ai. Now God's telling them to go back. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and her king as you did unto Jericho and her king. Well, the children of Israel were now back on track. They were back on course in God's plan to conquer the land of Canaan, their promised land. Now, momentarily, they had gotten out of God's will when they fought the city of Jericho. You remember, God had told them not to take anything, to go in there and defeat the city, and don't take anything for yourselves, but give it to God. You remember a man named Achan did what he was not supposed to do. He took some of the spoils of war, and so he disobeyed God. God had to deal with that situation, so the children of Israel met defeat when they went to the next city, Ai. Just a small little town. They thought they could take it with 3,000 people. 3,000 soldiers, they went up there and they got thoroughly thrashed, not because the people of Ai were that great at war, just simply the fact that God didn't go with them. And so the children of Israel had met defeat at that next battle site, the town of Ai. Achan was judged for his sin, but now all that's over when you come to Joshua chapter 8. So the children of Israel were going back for this second battle of Ai. They were going back to the very place where they had met defeat. And God was now going to give them victory there. Came across a little story. Back in the 16th century, there were two cities in Italy, and they were in a naval war against each other. The city of Genoa, the city of Venice. In one of their naval battles, the city of Genoa suffered a terrible defeat, so their ship was taken back to the city. It went through a series of repairs, and then when it was repaired, the admiral gave the command to return to the place of defeat. And one of the officers said, What? Are we going back to the very place where we were routed? And the admiral said, We are going back to the place that was made famous by our defeat. Now we're going to make it famous by our victory. Well, that's what God's going to do right here. God has a way, folks, of sometimes bringing us back to a place of defeat in our lives and giving us a wonderful victory. And that's why it's so important for you and I as believers not to get down, not to get discouraged when we suffer a momentary defeat in our lives. Sooner or later, we all face them. And sometimes we succumb to the temptation and we don't live as believers should live. And I think so many Christians get frustrated when that happens, and after a while they think, well, I'm never going to measure up to be the follower of Christ I ought to be, and so they just give up after undergoing some defeat. But here's the thing, we've preached about this before. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you keep working with God in your life, He'll bring you to victory, and so often He has a way of bringing you back to the place where you once were defeated, and He gives you victory in that place. And so here we are at the second battle of Ai, and we're going to see how victory can come out of defeat. Now, the battle of Ai would not be easy. And really, any time you have a defeat in your life, whatever it is, to deal with that defeat is never easy. The children of Israel had lost some ground. And it's never easy to regain ground that you've lost in the Christian life. I've seen some situations where 30 minutes of sin will take you 30 years to get over it. I've seen that happen in churches too. And when you lose your testimony for the Lord, it's not easy to get it back. That's why it's so important not to get unconfessed sin in your life. If you ever lose your reputation, if you ever lose your Christian testimony, it'll take you a long time to get it back. But the message of this story tonight is that you can do it. You can do it. God can bring you back to a place of previous defeat and give you victory there. And that's what we're going to see right here as the Israelites deal with the people at Ai. Now, three things I want you to notice down here. Look at verses 1 and 2, because down here you have victory promise. God commanded Joshua. He told the children of Israel to move against the city of Ai for a second battle. And you remember they'd already been defeated back in chapter 7 at Ai. Now you just put yourself in the shoes of the people of Israel. I imagine the people were afraid of Ai. They'd been thoroughly thrashed there one time, and so they might be, can I use the term gun-shy? They might be a little gun-shy about going back, and so here's God saying, go back and take the city now. Well, along with His command, God gave some promises to His people. He said, and notice down here, He says, go and take the city, and here's the promise. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And God was reminding Joshua and the people what the basis of their victory was. God would be with them. They would do it through His power. And as we pointed out to you a few weeks ago, it's only in the power of God that any of us have victory in our lives. And anything we accomplish, we need to be very careful to give Him the praise and the credit and the glory for that. Well, God promised that He would give them total victory. And He'd give them the city of Ai. Now, I'm sure, though, that the armies of Israel went back to the city of Ai with their knees trembling. They were obedient to God, but I'm sure there was some apprehension. I mean, this involves some faith. You know, did God really mean what He said? Is God really going to look out after us, you see? So these folks had to believe that what God was telling them was true. And they had to step out on faith to claim the promise of victory that God was about to give them. In fact, you always have to mix faith with God's promises. Now, that's just the way it works. You always mix faith with God's promises if you're ever going to see any miracles take place in your life. And so, you know, you mix faith in the bowl along with the promises of God, and you'll come out with a glorious mixture when you do that. Well, verse 2, God promised something else here. God said He would give them victory over the city of Ai. And then in the last of the verse, God said, now look at it. He said they could have all of the spoils of the city for themselves. Now that's different from last time when they went to Jericho. When they went to the city of Jericho, God said, don't take anything for yourself, but put it in the treasury that belongs to the Lord. But now they could take anything in the land of Ai they wanted. You see, Achan's problem back in chapter 7 was that he was not willing to wait on God. That's a lesson I've had to learn the hard way, to wait on God. I don't like to wait. I hate a traffic signal. I don't want to wait at a traffic signal. I don't want to wait for my supper. You know, I don't want to wait. Ira says, amen. You don't want to wait. But, you know, I just don't like to wait. But I had to learn this. I mean, God sometimes makes us wait down here. He says, you're going to have to wait a little while. And so He promises them down here, you can have some spoils. And Achan was not willing to wait on the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But so many times we want the things first and let God come later. It does not work that way. God says, you put me first in life, and I'll add all these other things to you. And friend, if you will wait on God and depend on His promises, the Lord will meet every need that you have in life. Now, I didn't say He'd meet every greed. I said every need. Well, here was a victory that's promised. God told His people to go, take the city of Ai, and He promised to be with them. Now, verses 3 through 27, victory pursued. You have in this part of the text the detailed account of the plan God gave Joshua to take Ai. You remember when they fought Jericho, what God's plan was? Go around the city one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, go around the city seven times. And then blow the trumpets and, you know, do all that type of stuff. And the walls going to come tumbling down. And we said back then, what a dumb strategy to take a city. I tell you, God knows what He's doing, but He's strange sometimes. So now notice what God does down here. This is what God told Joshua to do in this case. God told Joshua to take 30,000 men and place them in an ambush. And then Joshua was to take the main army and march toward the city of Ai. And the army of Ai would come out of the city to confront them as they did in the earlier battle. And when the armies of Ai came forth, the army of Israel would turn around and run as though they were fleeing from them because they were afraid to be defeated. And the armies of Ai would pursue them, and when that happens, the 30,000 in ambush would slip into the city of Ai, set it on fire. And when that happens, another 5,000 soldiers of Israel would bring up the rear in case there were some reinforcements of the people of Ai from a nearby city called Bethel. And then when the armies of Ai saw the city on fire, they would turn back toward it, and the 30,000 in ambush would move against them, and they would be pinched, a pinching maneuver. And Joshua and the main army would turn back against them as well. They catch the armies of Ai in a pinching maneuver and defeat them. Now, here's the thing I want you to notice. This strategy of God in taking Ai was totally different from what He did in Jericho. Now, we're going to learn something here, so hang on. God gave Jericho to Israel one way, you know, circle the city, do it seven times on the seventh day, holler out the sword of the Lord and Gideon, blow the trumpets, everybody yell, and the walls come tumbling down. Really, God? Well, that's the way they did at Jericho. Now, here's the other thing in Ai. They're going to do an ambush. Totally different. Now, here's the lesson, and this is for this church. God is very flexible. Southern Baptist or not, God is very flexible. God never gets locked into just one method of carrying out His work. The methods of God often change. The church today needs to learn this. And I'm not saying just this church. I'm talking about our churches today like this church. Thousands of them. We need to learn this. You know, we think God has to do the same thing every way, every day. We have the idea that if God did this work in His church in the 1950s in one way, He's still going to do it today. And we tend to get bent out of shape if God does not do today like He did yesterday. And we tend to carry on programs in our churches that died in their effectiveness years ago. Why do we think we have to keep having some of the same tired old programs year after year when they've lost their effectiveness? I mean, one of the worst things that can happen in a church is to fall into a rut. You know what a rut is? A rut is a grave with the ends knocked out. That's what that is. I mean, that's what a rut... Have you ever heard the seven last words of a church? The seven last words of a dying church? We never did it that way before. How many times have I heard that through the years? I tell you. God's message never changes. I say God's message never changes. I say it a third time. God's message never changes, but His methods to get across His message are always changing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, methods are not important. Jesus often changed His methods. For example, He healed several blind men in the New Testament in His ministry. One man who was healed, Jesus took some spit, put it on the man's eyes. Another man was healed when Jesus took mud and anointed the man's eyes. And then a third blind man was healed when Jesus just touched his eyes. Three blind men were healed, but Jesus used different methods with every one of them. Now, can you imagine those men in a church service talking about how Jesus heals blindness? One of them says, well, Jesus does it by spitting and applying it to your eyes. And the second one says, no, that's wrong. That's not it at all. I ought to know. He healed me by applying mud to my eyes. And the third one says, well, you're both wrong. He does it by just touching your eyes. And so you have three different denominations born, the Spittites, the Mudites, and the Touchites. And they get into this big argument. Now listen, folks, God's message never changes, but His methods quite often change. The important thing is not how God does it. The important thing is that God does do it. You've got to be willing to try different methods of doing God's work. Sometimes you have to do something different that's never been tried before. You may fall flat on your face, but at least give it a try. That'll be one less thing you'll have to try later, see? Well, this strategy down here worked like a charm. Everything worked just as planned. Joshua moved against Ai. The army of Ai came out to meet him. Joshua and his army fled before them. The army of Ai pursued them. The men of Israel in ambush slipped into the city, set it on fire. And when the army of Ai saw the smoke of their city burning and turned back, Joshua's army turned around and attacked. The men of the ambush attacked, and they crushed the army of Ai. And verse 7 gives you the key to the victory. Y'all see verse 7? Then you shall rise up from the ambush, seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Now there's the key right there. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. The battle is the Lord's. And whether it's done in a miracle like Jericho or done in more everyday means like a battle, the Lord fights the battle if you are willing to let Him do it. And Ai was finally taken. The first battle of Ai was lost, but now it was taken. Where they had previously been defeat, there's now victory. And here is the lesson. God gave His people a second chance. Now, I don't know how many times God's given me a second chance. And you're probably the same way. I mean, have you ever been in some situation where you've lost some battle in your life? Well, I want to tell you that failures don't have to be fatal. And failures are not final as long as God exists. God is the God of the second chance. Some people fail, and because they have failed, they just quit on God. They just quit on life. You may be one of those. I don't know. Maybe that's what you're feeling. You feel like you've just blown it in your Christian life. Well, you don't have to be finished, and you don't have to be washed up. God wants to give you a second chance. Somebody says, well, Brother Mike, I did something at work this week I should not have done. Well, God's willing to forgive you. You say, I made some mistakes in my home. Well, God will forgive you, and He will. You see, He is the God of the second chance, and that's a good lesson from this story. I think about some in the Bible whom God gave another chance. Old Jonah made a mess of his life, but the Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. In the New Testament, you read about the young man named John Mark went on that first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas and let them down. He quit on them, went back home. Next time he wanted to take a trip, they got into fuss because Barnabas wanted to get John Mark again. Paul said he was a quitter. But later on, Paul says about John Mark, he says to Timothy, send John Mark to me, for I have found him profitable to me in the ministry. He got a second chance. Simon Peter. Listen, Simon Peter got so many chances, I tell you. I mean, he once swore and cursed and denied he ever knew Christ, but God gave him another chance, and he got his life turned around, became the great preacher on the day of Pentecost. I mean, if you'll turn your sin, turn from your sin, God will give you a brand new start. And you know what? After you get that new start, you may serve God better than ever because you've learned a lesson. See? Let me give you a passage of Scripture. If you want to turn over there to it, you can. But over there in the book of Lamentations, you say, I didn't even know there was such a book in the Bible. Yeah? Right after the book of Jeremiah, there's Lamentations. And over there in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I like that. That's a wonderful passage. I mean, that's a great passage of Scripture. Regardless of what happens yesterday, God's mercy is new for you each day if you just take it. And I'm glad God's willing to give me a fresh start. Friend, you may have lost the battle of Ai the first time, but God can give you a victory the second time. And the old poet longed for the land of beginning again. Well, God can give you a beginning again if you'll let Him. That's a whole lesson right here of Ai in chapter 8. But now let's go a little bit further down here. I want you to notice verses 28 through verse 35, how the victory was preserved. God said the army of Israel was to completely destroy the city of Ai. And in verses 22 through 27, you'll find that there was total destruction of Ai. And what God was doing, you remember we talked about this a few weeks ago. Sometimes we have a hard problem when God says for His people to go in and totally wipe out a people of the land. Let me tell you what God's doing. God was cutting a cancer out of the human race right here. God was cutting a cancer out of the human race right here. The people living in Canaan land in those days were living in unbelievable sin. I mentioned some of it when we studied the city of Jericho. All kinds of moral depravity, homosexuality. There was demon worshipers, child abuse. They were taking some of their own children and killing them, sacrificing them to pagan gods. In war, they hacked their victims to pieces while still alive. I mean, these people were unspeakably evil. God had enough, and so God was cutting a cancer out of the human race. And it, probably so, but now, we'll talk later, Steve. And in verse 29, the Bible says that Joshua put the king of Ai to, I can think of some Republicans too. But anyway, God said, you're about to mess me up here. Verse 29, the Bible says that Joshua put the king of Ai to death by hanging. Said to take him and hang him. And here's a lesson. Some see Ai as a representation of a Christian. Some people, some Bible scholars have said this is a representation of a Christian, of our fleshly nature within us. And when God tells you to do something or behave a certain way, what do? Sometimes we do it, but sometimes we're tempted to do something else we'd rather do, and that inclination to do wrong is in all of us. And that's called sin. We all have that old nature, a tendency toward wrong, just like the needle on a compass is attracted to magnetic north. We're attracted to wrong in all of our lives. And when you get saved, you don't lose that old nature. That old nature is still there. I know there's some Bible teachers today who say when you get saved, you lose your old nature. I didn't lose mine. And I ain't lost either. I mean, you go home tonight. If you think you've lost your old nature and you're married, go home and ask your wife if you've lost your old nature. She'll tell you. Paul makes it clear in Romans 7, you don't lose your old nature. Well, how do you get victory over that old nature, preacher, when you feel the urge to follow wrong instead of right? It involves a death. A death pictured in the death of the king of Ai right here. You have to die to self on a daily basis. I mean, take your Bible and let's look at some scriptures. Turn over to Luke chapter 5, verse 17 just a minute. What did I say? Luke? Tri-Galatians. Yeah, the other Luke. Tri-Galatians chapter 5. Listen to this verse, verse 17. Galatians 5:17. Paul says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." What does the old hymn say? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. That's what that's talking about. But the key to victory is in chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the passions and lusts on a daily basis. Every day, you have to die to self. I lay there in bed before I even get up and say, Lord, help me today to live in your Spirit. And listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify, Paul says, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence or desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. What I'm saying is every day you have to put these things to death in your life. Get with God in prayer. Commit those things to God for the day. And ask Him to help you. Now notice how this victory at Ai was to be preserved. Go back over to our text and look down there at verses 30 and following. As the children of Israel moved further into the promised land, they were moving west. They traveled some 30 miles from Ai, and they came to a beautiful valley between two mountains. This is the latter part of the chapter. They defeated the people at Ai. They kept moving west to take the land. They came into a beautiful valley with two mountains on each side, and they came to a place called Shechem. That's where Jacob's well was. Jacob back a few hundred years ago, back in the book of Genesis. And on one side of the valley was a mountain called Ebal, the mountain of cursing. And on the other side of the valley was a mountain called Gerizim, the mountain of blessing. And Joshua divided all the children of Israel, put half over on one mountain, half on the other. And if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 27, you'll find that Moses told him to do this when they came to the promised land. And if you go there today and you look at that place, it's just kind of like a natural amphitheater in that area. And Joshua led the people to worship there. Now here's my question. Why did he do that? Well, he did that because he understood something that a lot of American people don't understand today. He understood that the key to military and cultural and social success rests in spiritual matters. Many, in fact, all of the problems we're having in America today, I believe with all my heart, is connected to our wandering away from God. I think that's where we are. Whether it's political unrest, cultural unrest, social unrest, we've wandered away from God, and God has said, all right, I'm just going to let you have your sin. And Joshua led the people to worship there. He understood that the key to military and cultural and social success rests in spiritual matters. President Woodrow Wilson, in his last speech as president, said, and I didn't agree everything he did, but this was good. He said, the sum of the whole matter is this. Our civilization cannot survive materially unless it is redeemed spiritually. God puts it this way in Proverbs 13:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so Joshua led the people to worship. That's what you ought to do. And the Bible says that Joshua read the Word of God in the hearing of all the people. And as Joshua read God's Word that day, when he read a curse, all the people up on Mount Ebal cried, Amen. Y'all ever wonder where we get that in our churches? Somebody says, Amen. They use the word Amen. Well, that's coming from right here. Joshua read God's Word. People up on Mount Ebal called out, Amen. And then when he read a blessing, all the people on Mount Gerizim cried, Amen. See. Well, why did God have Joshua do that? Why did he want them to go up in that valley and worship like that? Because he was trying to impress upon them that if you obey God's word, you'll be blessed. But if you don't do it, you don't expect anything. It's just that simple. If you disobey God's word, you'll be cursed. Now, God led Joshua to do one thing more up on Mount Ebal. Did you notice down there? Look at verse 30. Did you notice in verse 30 that the Bible says Joshua, what did he do? He built an altar up on Mount Ebal where they would offer sacrifices to God. Well, why did God have them build an altar on that mountain of cursing? Well, I believe that he did that because he knew that we're all sinners. And God knew that we all have a tendency to fail. He knew that we all have a tendency to do wrong we shouldn't do, and we need to have a sacrifice to atone for our sins. The New Testament says that Jesus gave his life to be that sacrifice for our sins. You see, that altar there on Mount Ebal was just pointing to Jesus in the New Testament. That's why God put the altar up there, to point men to forgiveness and salvation that later come in the form of his Son on the cross. Sooner or later, everybody comes to a time of decision in his life. You come to a valley of decision, if you will, and you can choose between blessing and cursing in your life. If you're like these Hebrew people in the valley of decision between Mount Ebal, the mountain of cursing, and Mount Gerizim, the mountain of blessing, every man can choose what he's going to have, which way he's going to do. And whether you're blessed or cursed, it depends on what you say amen to. You know, I heard about this old Indian. And he had a way, he became a Christian, but he was kind of talking about this struggle that we all have between blessing and cursing, between the flesh and the spirit. And he said it was kind of like you have two dogs inside of you, always growling and snarling at each other and fighting. And somebody asked him, said, which dog wins? And he said, the one that I say sick him to. Do you get the analogy? It's up to you. You have to choose. What are you going to choose? Blessing or cursing? See? But God's always willing to give us a second chance, and all God's people said, amen. All right, let's bow our heads together and have a prayer, then we'll have our conference. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of the second chance. And Lord, help us to take those second chances that you offer us and make the most of them. Learn from our foolish mistakes and become greater saints for you. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.